Beginning in verse 1 of John 14, Jesus speaking says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," and I love that, that title for heaven, "my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Now, I thank God for Thomas. He didn't hesitate to ask this question. Thomas said, "And Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" Verse 5. Jesus answered and said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Several years ago, the USA Today, they found out that 80% of Americans believe in heaven. And then not all of them believe they're going to go to heaven. 72% said that they felt they had a good chance to an excellent chance of going to heaven. So they have their fingers crossed. They got their rabbit's foot in their pocket. "I believe in heaven, but I don't know if I'm going to go there." And then interesting, of those who believe they would have a good chance to go to heaven, they said 60% of their friends would not go to heaven. Makes me wonder who they're hanging out with. 60% of your friends aren't going to heaven. Listen, there's only one other option from heaven, and you don't want to go there, amen? You want to have a heart right with God and ready to go to heaven. So Jesus, in this verse that we just read, talks about heaven. He calls it my Father's house. Now, when he tells them in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He's in the upper room hours before he goes to the cross. And he had just said to the whole group, "One of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to deny me. And I'm going to go from here back to heaven, my Father's house." So their hearts were sad. Their hearts were sorrowful. Many times our hearts begin to be troubled and sorrowful. But he says, "In my Father's house," which is how he described heaven, there, and I love the King James Bible here, "many mansions." Years ago, I read a translation that said "many apartments." That's what I did. I laughed. No, thank you. Give me the King Jimmy. Mansions, amen? If Jesus could create all this universe in 6 days, and I believe he did, think what he could do in the 2,000 years that he's been gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. How beautiful it will be. So many mansions in my Father's house. Now, heaven is a place. Heaven is a real place. And heaven is a prepared place. Look at verse 3. "And if I go to prepare a place for you," it's a prepared place, "I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I think this is the first disclosure in the Bible of what is known as the rapture of the church. Jesus is not talking about his second coming. He's talking about his coming for the church, the bride of Christ, which could happen at any moment, could happen today. "So I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Look at verse 4. "And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." So heaven's a place. Heaven's a real place. Heaven is his Father's house. And it's a place prepared for us. Now, Thomas, good old Thomas, asked these questions. He said, "Look, we don't know where you're going." So he makes a statement. "We do not know where you are going." And then the question, how can we know the way? Thank you, Thomas. Thomas is sometimes called doubting Thomas because he's always looking at the negative side. So he said, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And then Jesus' answer in verse 6, one of the greatest statements Jesus ever made. Jesus said to him, "I am," and by the way, that's a ego I me, the same phrase that God used in the burning bush with Moses. "Tell them, I am hath sent you." If Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me," and then he said, "I am," he's claiming to be God. So he says three things. I am, number one, the way, that is to the Father's house. I am the truth, that is about the Father and how to know God. And then I am the life. I am the life of God. And so he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So You know what the simple answer is to the question how to get to heaven? Jesus. Amen? There's no other name given among men by where we shall be saved than in the name of Jesus. Only one way to heaven. And that one way is Jesus Christ. And so that it would be clear, no questions, no mistakes. Look at verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I looked up the word no one in the Greek. You know what it means? It means no one. Isn't that profound? No one gets to heaven without going through Jesus Christ. We used to sing, if you want to get to heaven, you can't go around the cross. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, some say that this is too exclusive or narrow. Jesus can't be the only way to the Father. I don't know if you saw Oprah say that several years ago. It's on the YouTube video. She actually said in one of her TV shows, Jesus can't be the only way to heaven. How wrong she could be. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. So though it's exclusive and narrow, it should not be offensive because it is true. Some say it's too offensive, it's too narrow. He can't be the only way. Why not? It's true. Truth is that which corresponds to reality, and Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And as his own words say, no one can come to the Father except by me. And in the statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life, these words of Jesus meet man's greatest need. Before sin entered the world, Adam and Eve were enjoying three things in the relationship with God in the Garden of Eden. Listen carefully. Number one, they had fellowship or communion with God. Before sin entered the world, Adam and Eve, our first parents, our first beginning, the first man, first woman, they had fellowship with God. They had communion with God till sin entered the world and they were separated from God. And then secondly, they knew the truth about God. They knew the truth about God. They weren't yet deceived by Satan, and they know who God was. And then thirdly, they possessed the life of God. They had eternal life. Had sin not entered the world through Satan, had they not disobeyed God and sinned, they would have gone on living in fellowship and knowledge and in the life of God. I love what James Montgomery Boyce said. He said, quote, however, when they disobeyed God, referring to Adam and Eve, and fell into sin, they lost their privilege. Instead of enjoying communion with God, they experienced alienation from him. Instead of knowing the truth, they fell into falsehood and error. Instead of possessing life, they began to know death. This is our human condition. We are alienated from God, ignorant of the truth, and condemned to spiritual and eventually physical death. But the cool thing about these words of Jesus in verse 6 is that they meet man's greatest need at each of these three levels. Now, I want to look at all three of these statements in verse 6. If you're taking notes, first of all, we are separated from God. Jesus is the way. We are separated from God because of our sin at birth, and we are needing to come to Jesus is the way back to God. So Jesus said, I am the way. Now, why are we separated from God? The answer is sin, a little word with three letters, S-I-N. You don't hear about sin much today, do you? But the Bible says all have sinned, all have fallen short, no one righteous, no, not one. What sin is basically, in its essence, is missing the mark or missing the target. If I were to shoot an arrow at a target, if I didn't hit the bullseye, I would be what's called a sinner. I've missed the mark. God sets the standard. So all of us have missed the mark. We haven't loved God. We've had other gods before him. God knows our heart. You take the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Well, messed up there. Thou shalt not covet. Try going to Costco and not coveting. They should call it Costco covetousness. Coveting Costco. You buy stuff you don't even need just because it's inexpensive. It's so, I don't even know what it is, but it's cheap, let's buy it. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. And as I said, thou shalt not covet, God looks at our hearts. So we've all sinned, we're separated from God. So Jesus is the way to get back to God, our Creator. Jesus died on the cross to remove our sin and to reconcile us back to God. Jesus died on the cross to be able to carry away our sin and to reconcile us back to God. You know the etymology of the word forgive means to carry away? The word forgive means to take away or to carry away. Jesus was coming on the scene of his ministry when John the Baptist pointed out by the Jordan River, said, behold, look, the Lamb of God who does what? Carries away, takes away, bears away the sin of the world. The only perfect sin substitute, Jesus Christ. He came to take away our sins. In Psalm 103, verse 12, the psalmist said, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he what? Removed our transgressions from us. If you haven't been forgiven, you need to come to Jesus Christ. If you ask him to forgive you, the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The only way to get rid of that guilt and that shame and that alienation from God is to confess your sin, to turn to Jesus and be forgiven and be cleansed through the precious work of Christ's blood on the cross. Jesus has made provision for our sins at the cross. Don't let pride keep you from him. One of the number one things that keeps people from coming to Christ is their pride. This is why Jesus says, if you come to me, you must come as a child. You must come dependently, humbly, and trustingly, and put your faith in me. Jesus not only is the way to be cleansed and forgiven of sin, but he's the way to the Father and the Father's house. There's not a way, it's the way. Jesus didn't come to talk about ways to get to heaven. He came to be the very one to bring us to heaven. Literally in the Greek, this would read, I myself am the way. So he didn't just teach us the way. He pointed to his person. I am the way. I kind of like the illustration of an escalator. You know, I've heard people say that Christianity is a crutch. And I say, it's not a crutch, it's a stretcher. You have to lay your whole weight on him. You have to trust him completely. And I think escalators are so cool. Thank God for escalators. Thank God for those long terminals that have the moving sidewalks. Praise the Lord. And I love to mess with escalators. You know, I love to stand at the bottom and you just see the stairs coming up and then they kind of just appear. And when you're coming down, I like to watch them just disappear. Love to run up them, run down them, freak people out. They're kind of cool. And then those escalators, you could walk up them if you want, but why would you do that? Whenever my wife and I are at the airport, there's the stairs and then there's the escalator. She goes up the stairs. Pray for her. I go up the escalator. I kind of wave at her when I go by. And we always kind of run. She goes on the regular walkway. I go on the power sidewalk and kind of wave at her and go by and running. I'm running. And just praise God for that. Amen. And that's like Jesus. He just carries you. You just put all your weight on him and he carries you and takes you to heaven. You know what it means to believe in Jesus? It means to put your weight on him, to rest in him, to trust in him. Have you done that today? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Some people try to find God in nature. Some people try to find God by being good. If I'm good enough, I can get to heaven. If someone says, I think I'm good enough to go to heaven, ask them, how good do you have to be to get to heaven? I don't know, just good. You know, goodness is a relative term. You can't really out. Just good, 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 good. Well, how good do you have to be? Just really good. You can always find somebody that's worse than you to compare yourself with and think, they won't go to heaven, but I think I got a chance. In order to get to heaven, you must be perfect. You must be sinless, and we've all sinned, and we have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous. The Bible says, no, not one. Some people try to find God in religion, externals, do's and don'ts, baptism, rites and rituals, catechism, doing certain prayers, going to certain group meetings, but knowing that they do not forgive our sins. Only God in Christ can do that. Religion cannot save us. It's not an external thing. It's a personal relationship with God. It's not precepts. It's a person. And Jesus is the way. Way for you to be forgiven, for you to go to heaven, for you to have fellowship with the Father and the hope of heaven in your heart when you die. Now, here's the second thing that Jesus said, verse 6. He said he is the truth. So we are, secondly, ignorant of God. Jesus is the truth. So Jesus wants to bring us to God, and Jesus also is the truth about God, verse 6. Now, if there is truth, it is knowable. Some say truth is not knowable. Truth is knowable. And truth isn't relative. You can't have your own truth. Sometimes people say, well, you have your truth, I have my truth. It doesn't work that way. I've asked sometimes people, do you believe in truth? And they go, no. I go, is that a true statement? I'm absolutely sure there's no truth. How do you know that? Because I just know that. It's a self-defeating argument. Truth is what corresponds to reality. Jesus said he is the truth, and he is the truth about God. Now, what way is Jesus the truth about God? Well, Adam and Eve, when they fell in the garden, they believed Satan's lies. You either believe the lies of the devil, who's the enemy of God, or you believe God and his word. God said to them in the Garden of Eden that if you eat that forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. The devil said, no, you won't die. God knows that the day you eat thereof, you shall be as gods, and your eyes will be open, and you'll have the knowledge of good and evil. So he lied to them, and they believed those lies. Paul says in Romans 1, verse 25, that they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. That's one of the things the devil does. He lies to you about God. God isn't real. God doesn't love you. God cannot save you. There is no God. Once you die, there's nothing after death. And they lie to you, and you believe the devil's lies. So Jesus is the truth about God. Why? Because he is God. Now, our text goes on in verse 7 to 9, where Philip was hearing about the Father and the Father's house. And Philip, we know, says, will you just show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied? What did Jesus say? He said, have I been so long with you, Philip, you've never seen me? He who has seen me has what? Seen the Father. In what way? Jesus came to reveal the Father. No man has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son of God, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him or explained him. John 1, verse 18. Jesus is the explanation or the truth about God. Jesus is the truth as well as the way to God. Because he is God, he can reveal God to us. His person, he's loving, he's gracious, he's merciful, and he's kind. You know, when you look at Jesus, he loves you. When you look at Jesus, you see he's merciful. You see he's kind. You see he's patient. That's God's heart. You see the heart of God in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, the third statement in verse 6 is that I am the life. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So number 3, we are dead spiritually. Jesus brings us life. We are lost. Jesus is the way. We are deceived. Jesus is the truth. We are dead. Jesus is the life. You know, death is the result of sin. Every time someone dies, it's an indication of the reality of sin. But we are also spiritually separated from God. We do not know God. We don't know the truth about God. We don't have the life of God. We're dead in sins. God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat, you will surely die. They didn't die immediately, but they did eventually die. Someone said old postmen never die, they just lose their zip. Old doctors never die, they just lose their patience. Here's my favorite. Old fishermen never die, they just smell that way. It is appointed unto every man what? Once to die. After that, the judgment of God. The statistics on death are quite impressive. 10 out of every 10 people living will die. No one can save their soul from the hand of the grave. Not only that, life is brief. Life is fragile. Life's like a vapor of smoke that appears for a time and vanishes away. None of us have a lease on life. None of us can guarantee that we'll be here tomorrow. You say, thank you for the encouragement, Pastor. But it's true. Are you ready to die? Will you go to heaven? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. He said that a man had two sons, a younger and the older son. The younger son said to his father, give me my inheritance, lot that falls to me. And he took his money, went where? Into a faraway country. Sometimes we think if we can just go somewhere else, we'll be happy. And then he wasted his substance on riotous or reckless or prodigal living. And then he began to be in want and he ended up in a pig pen, feeding pigs. And eventually he came to his senses. He said, how many hired servants my father had bread to spare and I perish with hunger? I'm gonna go back to my father's house and I'm gonna say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Just make me one of your hired servants. And as he was on the road back to his father's house, the Bible says the father saw him a far way off down the road. And he began to run to him. And when he was running to him, no doubt the son thought, oh no, I'm really gonna get it. But then the father threw his arms around him, smothered him with kisses, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him and shoes on his feet, and said, let's rejoice and be merry, for this my son who was lost is found, who is dead is alive. And they began to rejoice that that which is lost has come back to the Father. You know, there's some of you that are here today that don't know you're going to go to heaven. I know you go to church. I know you believe in God, but you don't really know you'll go to heaven because you haven't really repented of your sins and believed Jesus Christ and been born again. Have you been born again? Jesus said in John 3, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You can't get to heaven unless you have this spiritual rebirth. It's called regeneration. It's given new life to the Spirit. So are you going to heaven? Or are you going to die and be separated from God in hell? Do you know the truth? Jesus is the truth. Have you got the life of God in your soul? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten or unique son, that whosoever believes in him shall what? Never perish, but have everlasting life. That's the life of God in your soul. Now I'm preaching this message this morning because I want to make sure that you know you're going to go to heaven, that you have that assurance. Just coming to church, just believing in God is not enough. You say, well, what do I have to do? You first have to realize I'm a sinner separated from God. I can't get there on my own goodness or my own deeds. Can't get there through righteous works of religion. I must get there through faith and faith alone. The Bible says like this, by grace you have been saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you have to put your faith in Christ. So first thing you do is realize I am a sinner. Second thing you need to do is repent, change your mind, which means to turn around and follow Christ, go the other direction. Abandon your sin and receive, thirdly, Christ as your Savior. Realize I have sinned, repent of my sin, and thirdly, receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. You know, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to get right with God, to give your heart to God. I don't believe there's anyone in this service by accident. And I don't think it's an accident that the Lord had me preach this message. Will you go to heaven when you die? You can't guess, you can't hope, you can't cross your fingers, hang on to a rabbit's foot. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, amen? And if you haven't done that, you need to do that now. You need to do that today. Now's the acceptance time. Today is the day of salvation.
If God has spoken to you through this message today and you're not sure that you're a child of God, maybe you don't know for sure that if you died today that you would go to heaven, you've never really trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would like to lead you in a prayer right now, inviting Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior. So as I pray this prayer, I want you to repeat it out loud, right where you are, after me. Make it from your heart, inviting Christ to come in and be your Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I pray that you'll forgive me and come into my heart and make me your child. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. I believe in you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God heard that prayer, and I believe that God will and does forgive your sins. We'd like to help you get started growing in your walk and relationship with Jesus Christ. God bless you.
If you just prayed with Pastor John to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we are so excited for you. And we'd like to send you a Bible and some resources to get you started in your relationship with the Lord. Simply click on the contact link at the top of the page. And tell us something like, I prayed to accept Christ. We'll get your Bible and resources mailed out to you right away. God bless you and welcome to the family of God.